Hi, I'm Britton LaRue, and this is Moon to Moon. Moon to Moon is a space to consider, celebrate, and share the ways we come home to ourselves, anchor through change, and uncover our power. 1 month, one phase, one loving step at a time. Welcome back to Moon to Moon. I'm excited to share this episode with you. I have for you a potent conversation with someone who was very important to me in my early years of learning astrology. And that is the very well-known and prominent and celebrated astrologer, Deborah Silverman. So I'm excited to get you to that conversation. First, I want to give you some updates from my world and talk about Wildly Alive, my new offering. And then I want to share with you how Deborah Silverman's work relates to this offering. And then I'll get into her bio and tell you a little bit about her chart and get to the interview. So that's what we're doing in the intro. And then I'll be back with you at the outro to talk to you about more things that have to do with Wildly Alive and why it's really important in my life right now to tend to this flame. Okay. So, as you may know, if you caught my last episode, which was called The Third Way, Downloads from the Dark Moon, that was from the Dark Moon in Taurus. We're now in a new lunar cycle, ruled by Gemini. And I am at the very end of early bird for registration for Wildly Alive Fire. And then on Friday, the 10th of June through the 17th, I'll be taking regular enrollment, and then the doors will close, and we will commence a beta version of this offering. It is beta, meaning it's experimental, it's playful, it is open to change, it's malleable, it's a riff on what this is, as I'm getting to know the being that is Wildly Alive. Let me tell you a little bit about what I mean by that and why I think joining in the beta round is something that you might want to consider doing if you haven't yet. So, Wildly Alive is a large body. It's a very large being. Yes, it's true. I visit with the beings of my offerings because I'm a mystic that way. And Wildly Alive is hard to describe because it's not like anything I've done before, and it's not really like anything that I have a template for. Like, oh, you know, it's like that thing that I can reference that's not me, that's out there for you to know what I'm talking about. You know, it feels like a wild template this way. And I like to think of myself as a wild teacher with wild templates. So thus, I have to do a little more work to describe for you what that is so that you can decide if this is something that you want to invest in, if you can decide that you even have any curiosity or interest in this. And so let me get into that then. So Wildly Alive is this large body of what we can call elemental teachings, elemental wisdom. The elements being the four elements that we speak of in astrology and the tarot, which are fire, air, earth, and water. And the elements really take astrology to its most basic components. It's like the most simple parts of astrology. It's taking this complicated, complex language into like, just tell me what I need to know, right? Like the elements are like removing a lot of language, like removing a lot of ways that we get more specific to the essence of the thing. And there's something about that that I find super compelling and sexy. I was like, yeah, like let's take off the clothes, you know, like let's derobe this down to like the naked essential parts, the elements. And as I'll be talking about with Deborah, very early on in my astrological education, I began seeing astrology just as being about elements alone in this like elemental atomic way. And really seeing my life is like about how I use the elements, like how I'm interacting with the elements like all day long, to the most mundane things ever, you know, to the minutiae of your life, like you're working with elements constantly. So like basically your whole life is elements. Everything is elemental. It's just, are we thinking about it this way? Like the invitation to even just begin thinking about your life this way is very, very, very shifting. Magic is really related. Having a magical life, feeling magical, is in many ways related to channeling, being in conversation with, healing with the elements. And then we can make things more complicated from there, which I also like to do. It's like taking it down and then building it back up. Take it back down, bring it back up. You know, and it is in this kind of like pulsing, clothing, declothing, simple, complicated, essential, more specific, that I think astrology is really, really sexy. It's seductive this way. And the elements are part of this for me. This is what I've found in the playing around with this over the years. So it felt important because Wildly Alive as a like being is so big, because it's really like all the things that I've been learning that help me and that help people. It felt important to separate and distill one element at a time. Although, of course, we're always playing with combinations, you know? But it's sort of like, for me, this may not be true for everyone. For me, it's sort of like I really like to get deep and down in with the essentials of a thing. And then from that place of like confidence and intimacy, I can then go back out and make things more complicated again, you know? And so I'm separating Wildly out into four investments. Once they're all done, I thought initially I would have like one overarching from the beginning, but I'm not going to do that. It's too complicated. Once they're all done, I may make a single Wildly Alive with all four elements, but I may not. I'm keeping it open. So Wildly Alive, each one is going to be a suite of highly potent lessons that I'm calling riffs. Why am I calling them riffs? I like how riff feels playful. It feels like comedic or like brash, like swag. I feel the swagger. And it openly, in the name, in the word riff, acknowledges that it's not complete or like the only way to talk about a thing. Where like the word lesson can kind of give the vibe of like, this is all you need to know, or like, I'm complete here, you know? And so I like the word riff because it's going to be a real open acknowledgement of like, on that particular day, I riffed on this particular thing, but that doesn't mean it's closed. You know what I mean? So I like that. But it is a lesson. If you want to call it a lesson, you can call it a lesson. So it's a suite of highly potent riffs with corresponding exercises to literally change your life. Wildly Alive to me is extremely potent as a catalyst, and it's very multifaceted and multidimensional in such a way that one facet, i.e. one riff exercise combo, can be like all that you need from it. Like for real, that might be all you needed. Or maybe all you needed for 6 months, you know, to like just be in that for a while, you know. And it will mean what it means to different people based on their own multifaceted, multi-layered personalities and positionalities and what they're craving from Wildly Alive. And Wildly Alive is like, to me, a living being that will shift and morph and become what it wants to become as people interact with it. And this is why in the beta version, especially, I'm going to be soliciting feedback. We're going to be meeting in July and meeting in August so I can hear from you. I'm going to really be requesting from people anything that they want to share, so that not so much to perfect the system as much as to listen to it and feed it and like let it keep telling us what it is. So these riffs and exercises are rooted. What are they? They are things that work. Like, oh, I'm just giving you what works for people, you know, like for me, for clients, for students. I'm giving you what works so that the element that you're investing in learning about in yourself and in this world can begin healing you and reprogramming you and supporting you. So these riffs and these exercises are going to kind of like light a fire in your life. They're going to like put a fire under you. It's going to become something that will take you into a journey of reprogramming so that you can grow the wild in yourself and heal off, release the programming that has been harmful to you. That's what we're doing. It's a reprogramming opportunity. You're investing in Wildly Alive in reprogramming. You may be thinking about the end results, like what are the results, you know? And I'm going to tell you, like, let's stop thinking about results. That's a reprogramming that we're in. This is a process-based experience. It's non-linear. This is why it needs to be self-paced. I will very likely just continue doing monthly meetups, just so that I can have a chance to interface and talk with the people that are in it, and we can see each other and I can hear about how it's going and how, as a steward, I can create a container that's nourishing, you know, a container that is wonderfully pleasing for people. But it's nonlinear. It's open. It'll change. It's being written from my dream field and from what I see works. Many of the, most of the stuff that's in it is stuff I've already tested. Like, I'm just presenting it maybe slightly differently. But like, if you're very familiar with my work, you've been in my courses, you've read all my workbooks, like, there will be a familiarity. And I'm doing this from 2022 version of myself that's seen that many more clients and worked with that many more students and is that much more mature as a human being, you know? So it's like, let's go through this again, because it's not linear and there are no destinations or outcomes. It's all cycles. We just keep cycling through deeper learning with these elements. And we begin with fire. So if you're very new to the elements, I would encourage you to go back just a couple months where I have a couple episodes. One is on water and earth and one is on air and fire. And these are with students who were in my Magician's Table container from 2021, talking about the relationship they have with the elements. A lot of that rooted in what they learned with me in the Magician's Table, because that container of mine is also about the elements. That's a very different energetic of a container, like a type of container. It's a community building container. It's very intensive and it has like clear start, clear end, and a clear curriculum that you're going through. Whereas this is a different, more spiralic space that's not as like intensive, so that you can do it according to your own pace. But if you're new to fire, there is there's a lot of moon to moon talking about the elements. Go back to those two. I'll link those in the show notes. And then the year before, I did elemental interviews with people that I adore working in the broader fields of self-healing and astrology and witchcraft that are from 2021 on the elements. I'll link those. But in short, fire is your energy. It's your animated spirit. Fire goes up. So it burns upward and we get lit. We are lit with our fire. That's our energy. That's our passion. It's like what gets us out of bed. It lifts us. So people with lots of fire are big energy, because it's like it goes upward. It's big. Their eyes are glittering. Their laugh is huge. We feel them when they enter a room because there's so much fire around them. They're just like glowing. When our fire is more slow and stagnant, our eyes, our energy is low. We feel down. Our eyes are like dull. We don't even know what we want. We don't know what we're bringing. There's this energy of like becoming invisible. But also fire can be on the other way of like tantrums, explosive violence, freakouts. What my younger daughter used to have these just explosive tantrums that my older daughter, her sibling, called blowdowns, like a combination of blow-ups and meltdowns. Blowdowns, you know, like rage, you know. Also just like people that get really loud that you're like, oh my gosh, I wish that person would like notice how loud they are, you know. So that's like our fire can get really big in a way that can be very harmful or at least like annoying. So self-awareness around fire is just so, oh my gosh, this is like the most helpful thing. Like, where am I in my fire today? How is your energy? Like, how is your energy? And this is just like so crucial to our lives. It's like, what is the capacity? What is the integrity? What is the vibrational quality of the fire energy that we're bringing? Like, what is the appropriate dose? What is the appropriate dose for this project, for this conversation, for this party that I'm going to? For this Sunday afternoon, what is the appropriate dose of fire that I'm wanting to give things? Like, when do we just want like our fire to be just like so soft and glowing, you know? And when are we just like razzmatazz, like taking the fire in our palms and just like, whew, look at me, look what I can do. Isn't this amazing? Don't you enjoy experiencing me and my fire? Am I inspiring you? Right? Like, fire is inspirational, aspirational. But fire is also very, very harmful, like deadly, you know? So fire had to come first, y'all, because I do want to get to my interview, but I want to say these things. Like, I learned this stuff initially from Deborah Silverman. Fire has to come first. Because why? Because when I take a new client, when I ask students in a new container why they're there, like what created the conditions, or what are the conditions and the context for your desire to be here? Like, what is the context for you wanting a reading? Almost, I feel like 75% of the time, it's a fire-related struggle. It's a pain that's fire-related. Because I'm really interested in helping people with their struggles, right? Like, this is really what I do. Let's talk about it. Like, I'm interested in helping people with their struggles and reframing their pain stories and becoming wounded healers and the nature of that pain point for me feels so often like a fire thing. Now, there's the other elements are all involved too, and sometimes it's a mix, right, of fire with other things, but fire just feels really important to start with. And it's also the element where I feel like I see the most clear, quote-unquote, results, where, like, when I'm witnessing people that I've been working with a while, whether one-on-one or in my community containers, I'm witnessing them just like, oh, whoa, just like, what a shift. Like, this human is like blowing my mind with the fire healing that they've been doing. So many people tell me that they don't even know how to register their fire in themselves. They don't see themselves as having any fire, or they see themselves having lost fire. And like, oh, just like everything in my being just wants to help people with this, especially because of how important it has been for me. So in emergence astrology, which is what I call what I do, I really like the idea of in one hand, like, we love the chart, like we love our charts. Okay, I'm pretty sure I'm going to call this episode with Deborah, "Don't Argue With Your Chart," because it's a favorite quote of hers that we talk about in our episode. Don't argue with it. Like, you have a chart. It's a real thing. And it's super, super helpful to get into your chart. Okay, that's true. And in the other hand, you don't need your chart. Like, you don't need your chart. Let's just get into the elements. Let's just like live these elements. Let's live these signs. Let's live with these planets and like don't even worry about where you have those placements. Like, you don't even need to know. Okay, I like believe both and. Emergence astrology is both and, because we go for the third way, right? The third way, what we talked about in the last episode, of like in the third way, the mercurial way, we disrupt this idea that we have to be obsessed with sun, moon, rising astrology and that our charts are like everything. We disrupt that. And we also weave in this other way that's like, forget your chart. You don't need it. And in this third way, holding both, and there's so much wildly alive healing, reprogramming, pleasure making. What previously felt implausible, joy and connectedness that's available to us. Let me tell you a little bit about what I mean. Like for example, I'm Aries rising. That's a fire sign. So fire sign people rising. So if you're Leo rising also, or if you're Sag rising, it's really important for us to understand fire. Like it's super important. It's like underlying what we're doing here. It's just like crucial for fire rising people to be in a daily intimate relationship with the fire in themselves and then how they wield their fire in the world. And the ruler of that sign for me is Mars. Mars rules Aries. And my Mars is not in a very great place for Mars. I have Mars in Cancer. So does Deborah, actually. So does my business partner, Angela George, who designs the workbooks of our business in case of emergence. Mars in Cancer is amazing. It's not like you can't do anything with your energy when you're Mars in Cancer, but there is a story there of learning to express your Mars in ways that feel safe and that won't destroy you. Be permissioning yourself to be angry and to have boundaries and trust that it's okay sometimes that that we separate. These are things Mars helps us do. So as an Aries rising, then there's been a lot of learning with that energy to clarify it and to be in better relationship with my skill there. And as I've been doing that, my whole life has changed like so much. Oh my gosh. Because your rising sign is like where you're going. Where are you going? You know, if you're moving with fire, then it's good to know how to work with fire, I've found. And it's even more complicated because I have Saturn in a fire sign. Look at your charts. Do you have Saturn in a fire sign? That Saturnian influence may make it feel really hard to access that fire. And so I've had to learn how to be seen. I've had to learn how to let people look at me, let myself be shiny and take up a lot of space, trust that I'm a creative person, trust that I can be in the chaos of creating, playing, like letting go of time a little bit. Leo, those are Leo things. That's where my Saturn is. And that's hard for me. Talked about that in the last episode too. My Sag is like a little more, my Sag is pretty strong in the sense that I've got two really sexy asteroids there. And one of them is Pallas, conjunct Neptune. And, you know, the being the philosopher teacher adventure is like such a happy zone for me. And so I feel like Sag has always been the fire energy I'm most comfortable with. It hasn't been as much of like what we could call a struggle. But like if you're a water rising sign, that means you have fire ruling your workhouses. So if you're Cancer, Pisces, or Scorpio rising, you have fire ruling your how you show up to your work in the world. And that might be something that would be really fun for you with Wildly Alive Fire is to think about it in that context. Same with if you have Air rising, Gemini rising, Libra rising, Aquarius rising, you have fire in the communication houses. like fires in your communicating and relating and your thinking, that could be a really interesting frame for you as you move through the exercises. If you're earth rising, these are especially the folks who feel maybe like the most disconnected to their fire, because Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn rising all have fire in the what we call the shadow houses or the water houses, the fourth, the eighth, and the 12th houses. And this can be different depending on if you have fire placements there. You'd have to do a chart reading to really look at this, but like, I really see a lot with my earth rising community, this deep, profound healing that happens from learning to self-identify as a fire person when fire has felt so hidden, you know? So that can be really beautiful. So that's a way that you can like weave your chart into this, and also like by connecting to fire, and also by connecting to Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, by connecting to the wands and the tarot, because yes, the tarot's in Wildly Alive too, because the tarot's in everything I do. By connecting through these forces and teachers, it doesn't matter where those are in your chart, because you'll just do it all more skillfully, however it is in your chart. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you don't really need your chart to live your chart, live the fuck out of it, you know? You will grow your skill in your chart by not even worrying about your chart and focusing on growing skill in your fire. So that's what a lot of what Wildly Alive is inspired by. So I'm inviting you to come learn fire with me, grow skill in fire with me, like catalyze incredible change with fire in your life, be more impressed with yourself with fire in your life, because personally, I think I've learned personally that what our fire in us most wants is for us to be impressed with ourselves and proud, you know? And that's like one of the greatest gifts of all that comes from healing with fire, is just being more impressed with yourself and proud of the way you express that energy in the world. It's a non-languageable energy, right? Air helps us express our fire. We put air on fire to say what we're trying to say, because fire is energy. It's just a felt thing. It's an energetic that people read, you know? And that the language of the energetics of fire is like the unspoken, more important thing than what we're actually saying. You know what I mean? So doing these exercises that I provide for you will create like an unspoken shift, like this energetic shift that radiates, there's a fire word, that radiates through the rest of your life, you know, of just like stoking little fires, like skillful fires under things. And how does that feel? You know, ultimately what we're doing, and this is true with everything that I do, and this is the end that I'm going to talk about with Wildly Alive, but what we're doing is reprogramming for a new world, right? It's not just about you. Why are we doing this? Because we're creating a new world. Because when you focus on your own personal growth and healing, you become a better, kinder, more inspirational, less harm-bringing person to others. You know? That's what we're doing. Because the internal mirrors the external, and the external mirrors the internal. And we can't change unless we do it one by one in a fractal way. We can be weaving that together with our efforts in collectivities, but we're also doing it internally. And this is really inspiring to me. This is ultimately the larger purpose of my work, and certainly for Wildly Alive, is because we are reprogramming. We are deconditioning from the toxicities. So come and be with me. Come, let me feed you. Let me feed you. Let me inspire you. Let me care for you with these riffs and with these exercises. If you come in the beta version, you will get the lower priced exchange for this offering. And then when I re-release it into the wild again, it will have a higher price. It may be changed some, but if you invest now, you'll get the changed version in the future. So come and join me now. Registration ends July 17th. I mean, I'm saying the 16th, that Thursday night, but like you can still join on the 17th. I won't take registration down, but then it will close because then it's just me focusing with my beta participants. Thank you. So it was with Deborah Silverman, that I learned about, first started thinking about astrology just in terms of the elements. As we discussed, Deborah wrote a book called The Missing Element. And I did take her Applied Astrology 1 class back in the day. And there were excerpts from that book. And one of the key points there is like how there may be an element that for you is quote unquote missing. Like for me, I think about this in terms of like the one that you feel least identified with, the one that feels far away from you, right? Like this is how I want people to do Living the Signs, the books, is like especially focus on the signs that feel far away for you. And so it's really from Deborah that I can trace my very early way of thinking about astrology in terms of the basic elements and thinking about myself and like what I need and what I want to grow and what I want to heal and demonstrate more skill in with each of these four elements. So let me read Deborah's bio for you and then I will send us into the episode. While there is no one size fits all approach, Deborah has developed a unique psychological spiritual model, combining her expertise in esoteric soul-centered astrology with her extensive education in psychotherapy to help those going through major life changes, pain, and insecurity. She custom designs her therapeutic approach to each individual, using astrology and psychology as a magical healing combination in order to achieve emotional health and wisdom. And in the show notes, there's going to be lots of links for connecting with Deborah's work. There's going to be 2 free gifts from Deborah for Moon to Moon. And I'm really excited about this. You'll be able to tell as we begin that Deborah doesn't know me. It's a sweet thing for Moon to Moon. I would have asked Deborah Silverman if she wanted to come on the podcast, but I had no connection to Deborah like personally, and I would have felt like, I don't know, I didn't imagine someone as prominent as Deborah Silverman, I guess, coming on Moon to Moon. And then they reached out to me and asked if Moon to Moon would host Deborah, and that was like, what? That is so cool. So I was very, very, very honored to receive this request to have Deborah as a guest and to be able to talk to her a little bit and share some space with her and some laughs, to talk about her chart, to talk about her relationship to astrology. I did this thing at the beginning where I shared with her, I share my top 4 takeaways from being a student of Deborah's, both from watching her on YouTube and from taking her Applied Astrology 1. And she was quite tickled by what a good student I am that I offered her like my 4 favorite things, and then we kept returning to those. Deborah is a Libra sun. And she is a Gemini. Wait, no. Deborah is a Libra rising. I'm like staring right at the ascendant and I say sun. Deborah's a Libra rising and she is her sun and her chart ruler Venus in Gemini. So happy birthday, Deborah. And her moon is in Aries, quite pretty close to my ascendant. And her Mercury, we talk about her Mercury in Taurus. She's really grateful for that. And as I already mentioned, we're both Mars and Cancer babies. So without further ado, I hope that you love this conversation with one of my first astrology inspirations. I loved realizing and sharing with her how foundational these four takeaways are. And as listeners of Moon to Moon, as it maybe if you're in one of my courses, like you'll really feel how much her teachings landed in me as I describe that, and you'll get to feel into her joy at feeling her own work resonate in another astrologer's. So it's super sweet and I'm very proud of it. And thank you, Deborah, for your time and your interest in Moon to Moon. All right. Welcome to Moon, Deborah Silverman.
Hey, Moon to Moon, what a great name.
Thank you. I came up with it thinking about Moon to Moon as meaning like month to month or cycle to cycle, and to focus on process, because moving out of the linearity of getting to a destination has been a huge part of my healing. But one of my guests noted that moon to moon also can suggest like my moon talking to your moon. And that's part of what we're doing here as well.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Well, I'm so excited to have you on because you are truly part of my whole story with astrology. And I would love to share with you what your work has meant to me in my process of becoming an astrologer and now being an astrology teacher for others. So we'll go back in memory lane a little bit. So it was fall 2017 and I was newly separated from my ex-husband. And half my time I was back in my old house with my daughters having possession with them. And then when he would be with them, I was in a little duplex with hardly any furniture. It's like a hermit space. And it was where I went to learn about myself and understand the patterns of my life and try to start again with myself. It's like, who am I? And my brother gave me my birth chart. And so he gave me my birth chart. I didn't even know that a chart existed. I just knew I was a Pisces. That's all I knew about astrology. I didn't know one had a chart. So I saw this chart and I'm like, I know how to read this. I just haven't been taught yet. You know, and I said, who are the teachers that you think I should begin with? And you were one of a list of like three people maybe. So he's like, go follow Deborah Silverman's YouTube videos. So I went over to YouTube and just started to devour. Like, I think I watched every single video. I watched all your videos, all your forecasts. Like I wanted the forecast to be every day, not every couple of days.
Moon to moon.
Yeah.
I just do videos moon to moon. That's what I do every day on Instagram. Moon to moon. I could borrow your name.
That is correct. And I love how you would say, you know, for the babies born today, you know, like tied what we're feeling with like, and people are actually born with this, like, oh, wow. Yeah. So thinking about that,
I just wanted to understand myself through this language, and the way you talked about it felt so like practical, and it felt so embodied, and it felt like I could like weave this in immediately. You know, I don't have to wait till I've like graduated to get this, you know? So I started to just take vigorous notes. I mean, you can tell from my chart that I love learning and I work hard at what I want to learn. And yeah, just devoured everything, took level one of your class. I read so much of your work. And I was looking at my old notes and I'm just like, whoa, Deborah Silverman's work is so integral to what I'm still doing.
And you did level two.
I didn't do level two, actually. I took a break from classes for a while, ended up not finishing it. I worked with another astrologer one-on-one to get certified. But I wanted to share with you, I boiled it down to my four most important things that I feel like I learned from you. Can I tell you?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the first huge thing was the way you talk about Mercury. What you shared about the observer and not being so merged with my thoughts as who I am, and talking about getting outside with a third party position to see how I'm thinking and notice if I'm being a bully and notice if I'm like creating a story that's creating then my reality. I no one had ever told me anything like that before. I didn't know that I was even doing it. And it became immediately something that I began applying to my life. Like, whoa, what are my thoughts doing? Paying attention, wanting to learn all I could about brain chemistry from other people, just because you said the word observer, I just went from there and it's changed my life. And I talked to people that changes their lives. So thank you.
I'm so glad. That makes me so happy.
The second one that I would say that was really your approach. I feel like your approach to teaching has this Jupiterian quality that's like, isn't it fascinating that we're all born with these invitations? Like, isn't it interesting? Like, let's get excited and hopeful about how fascinating it is that the stars were like this and now we have these lives. And then you weave that Jupiterian like love for it with the Saturnian kind of firmness of like, so are you ready to take responsibility? Do you know what I mean? I see in my notes, I wrote right here, don't argue with your chart. Like, that's some Saturnian love, you know? And I really, that was foundational for me, is like bridging this bigness and wonder with like, now here in the real world though, are you ready to take responsibility? And I liked how you could be firm with your listeners and with your students. Then the third thing is your focus on the elements. I mean, that is central to my life, essential to my courses, my students. We talk in elements. And the way you centered learning with the elements has completely informed the way I live. So thank you for that. Everyone go check out Deborah's The Missing Elements. It will really, really help you.
It's a book. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Amazon. Yeah.
And then finally, I created a workbook for each of the signs, and I call the series Living the Signs. And it's all about like how to apply this in your life. And I was just remembering that your class is called Applied Astrology. Yes. Like, oh my gosh, that's such a Deborah thing that I called it that, you know, because you were one of my first teachers, this is what I thought astrology was. I didn't know there would like ways, you know.
people just talk and talk. Those astrologers, I listen to them. I'm like, I don't even know what they're saying. And I'm a seasoned astrologer.
Right? Because it's like, if it's not helpful or relevant to these lives we're living, we're trying to be parents, we're trying to pay bills, we're trying to deal with health stuff. If we can't immediately apply it to our relationships, then what's the point? Right? And your approach has been really important to my work. And so thank you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you've given with your practice.
Thank you so much. It's so beautiful, you little Pisces, you.
Yeah, is there anything you want to riff on from anything that I just
I'm so
shared?
Sorry you didn't do level two, because it would have made, you didn't get the script. You didn't get, we have a formula level two where you finish and you can be an astrologer, because I've given this thing I've used for almost 50 years of every single session. So I'm shocked, because you would love it. And it talks about the progressions and the transits, like the technical part of the school. The first level one is really more of a psychological entrance into your chart, because I am a psychotherapist. So I built this level one for people that don't really know astrology, or super seasoned astrologers take level one and they can skip level two, because level two is just the technology of what's the transit, what's the progressions, how do you deal with aspects, how do you deal with houses. So that's a much more, and then at the end of level two, which funny enough, I'm teaching for the first time in 5 years today. No, that's not true, tomorrow. The secret code to listening, because we are different astrologers. My school is not about endless information. It's about psychologically touching someone's heart. So when they finish the session, they say, this was the best session I've ever had in my life. That's what we look for. And that's what our astrologers get. Like, you, it's not just talking. It's to your point. It's applying it and then psychologically entering somebody's psychology to say, that pattern that isn't going away, by the way, is what you are now. How can we reframe it to your point? Because it's not lead. Like, we're not the rosy tinted astrologer just giving information. In level two, you learn the, we call it the sacred script. So I'm sorry you missed that. And then
I'm
level
three. I missed it.
Yeah, but you can do it anytime. You can come back anytime. And level three, you wouldn't need. Level three is just, you know, really people that want to be astrologers who are gun shy, they take level three, but you wouldn't need that. But level two for you particularly, and to use the script, the formula, the code has been put in place by a lot of years of me. It's so funny, because when I do a reading, which I hardly ever do, I use the exact same every single time. Because my Mercury is in Taurus. So I do like that, you know.
The same way. It's interesting. The person I did do my certification with, Adam Summer, I don't know if you've heard.
I know he has my birthday.
That's fascinating. I was going to say, he's Gemini, Sun, Taurus, Mercury.
We have the same birthday.
Oh my goodness. There must be something about that degree of Gemini that like really sings for me. I'm going to have to look at our composite.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He just doesn't do applied astrology. He's much more of a storyteller.
He's a storyteller. And that is, I like a lot of different ways in.
And I'm just, my therapeutic, my whole thing is people are looking, and my, our success, I just left the meeting with, there's 35 mentors I've taught who now teach my work. And what they all know about is we're going to give this practical information. So there's, I love it. I love astrology. I can listen to people talk all day. And I'm the person that says, to your point, like, how are you getting along with your husband? How are you getting along with your kid? You know, how do you get along with your internal dialogue? Those mean voices that live in Mercury. It was such a good call. Your first teaching of, yes, that's my whole life's work. Turn on the observer, get out of your ego, which is good luck, because we all got one. And then figure out how you can get that ego to sit over there. You sit down. You're not, no, not talking to you right now. I'm talking to her.
Oh my gosh, that is exactly it. It's radically shifting for people.
And it's a single factor that the book, The Missing Element, which has no astrology in it. You do not have to know astrology to read that book. It, to your point, and for my life too, every single day I follow the elements, every single day of my life.
Yes. In your teachings, I remember you explaining how, like, when you're, you know, checking email, it's like this. And when you're having a glass of wine, you're using, you know, and you were talking about the different phases of a day. And it was like, oh, because we can compartmentalize, right? And think that the elements belong to, say, just our like more like witchy ritual practice or magical practice. So it's like, it infuses everything.
As soon as you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you take a shower, you pee, you have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and then you wash your face and you spend it all in water. Hello.
Yes.
You walk into the party. What's the first thing they say to you? Would you like a drink?
Yes.
It's water, and you spend 9 months in water. Hello. But this is so funny because the system in astrology starts with fire. We start with water, esoteric. Then the next part of the day is you look at your phone, air. Like, oh, what am I supposed to do today? And what's my schedule? And where's my telephone? And how do I communicate with the kids? And who's driving who to school? And it's all air. And then earth part of the day is, so who's making dinner tonight? What are we, like, I just got it. Someone just passed away in my close family. And so I'm making dinner tonight for the whole family. So now I'm ready for my earth cycle because I'm going to go. I know my end of day's earth. And then the fire cycle, to your point, is the wine, sitting around the table, shooting the shit, telling them, you won't believe what happened to me. You know, the fire cycle. And if you just follow those four elements and you ask yourself, do I spend time in the morning in prayer? Do I do my meditation before I wake up? Do I enter my cycle with the water and I do my quiet time and meditate? Do I communicate to the people I need to with air? Am I actually writing back the people that text me and my emails and doing all that air? Am I valuing the earth and eating organic food and eating, if it's vegan or whatever you eat, like how much do you value the earth? Mm-hmm. It puzzles me. I mean, that's the single element that I see. We've lost our shit. We don't take responsibility for the food we eat. We don't take responsibility for how we treat the practical world. And then last, which I'm really good at, did we have fun today? Like with the fire cycle, if I don't have fun in the day, I'm going home.
Yes. Gemini, right?
Moon and Aries. Roof.
I love it. Tell me how you found astrology. Like, how did it come in and how did it claim you?
You know, it arrived, when I was 10, I wish I could, you know, you can only imagine how many people have asked me that question because I am now headed towards 70 and I started this when I was in, just before I was 20. So it's been a long time. I intuitively, obviously, and was told in a dream that I've been an astrologer in past lives. It just sounds funny. Of course I have, but you know, what did I know? I didn't even know what past lives were, but I was told at the age of 19, I was woken up in the middle of the night and some lady was screaming at me, "You've been an astrologer for lifetimes, stupid. Stop acting so dumb." And I literally sat up in bed and I was like, whoa. And I started charging. I never had a teacher. It was a recapitulation. I recapitulated, just like you said, you looked at the chart and you were like, I can read it, but I don't know how I do it. Exactly the same for me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And were you already studying?
Not at the age of 10.
Well,
no,
okay.
I went to graduate school and because of astrology, I knew that psychology, well, my son's in the eighth house. So I had a fascination with all things psychological, like since I was really little. And then as I got to graduate school, I was just telling the story yesterday. I went to the supervisor that was my head of, you know, I was studying clinical psychology. And I said to her, I want to do research on astrology and psychology. And she was like, pardon? Like, what'd you say? I said, well, I don't care whether, you know, I have such a strong grand trident fire. I was like, I don't really care what you say. I'm doing research. And I did. So I, right in graduate school in my 20s, I worked with chronic mental patients, back wards of hospitals, and I had everybody's chart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, from the beginning.
So it wasn't really, astrology came to get me and it was a recapitulation. It would have been like, you know how a little kid, which I have a client, where is that crystal? She is a composer for Cirque du Soleil. I gotta find it. She gave me a crystal. She, when she was little, she started playing piano. By the time she was four, she was composing and they never had, gave her piano lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing for me with astrology.
Yes. How did you move into more of the work that you do now? So much online.
Well, that was just in my second Saturn return when I was 58, 59, which was like 8 years ago. Somebody named Destiny, it's hysterical. Someone named Destiny said, have you ever thought of doing an astrology school online? And I was like, a what? Like, how do you do that? I didn't know what she was talking about. And then she said, if you have a list, and I had, you know, obviously I have those funny videos I'm sure you've seen that have 7 million views, literally.
Yes.
So I had millions of people following me. So she said, you could just advertise to them if they want to come study with you. And I just tried. And the very first class, there was 40 people. We now are up to like thousands. There was 40 people in the room and they took level one exactly as you took it. I designed it. It downloaded. I have Uranus very, very strong in my chart. And so I'm a channel, and I didn't know I was a channel because I have Pluto square my sun. So I kind of have a deflated ego structure. I don't really get who I am until years go by. So I just figured out I was a channel. I figured out I was a good astrologer. I figured out I was a good therapist, but it took me for so many years because I was so like, I don't know. And I have Saturn opposite my sun. So I'm a very serious person. So I guess that school came through me. It quickly, it started a fire, just to your point. They take level one and they're like, this just changed my life. And they become astrologers. Mm-hmm. A lot of well-trained astrologers on my site that I've certified.
Yes. Yes. I actually had a reading with one. It was Malika, I believe.
Malika.
Yes. It was wonderful. I had several of her because she helped me with my daughter's chart. My daughter has 5 planets in Scorpio. And as an Aries rising, one of those planets is Mars. So she's a little tough gal. So she read my daughter's chart, and then she read our relational charts.
Was that helpful?
So helpful. It was also really validating because it was like, at that point, I was not sure if I could read charts, but she was telling me things that I was getting. So it just felt really nice to have somebody put it into language back to me. And that's when I started to think, okay, I think I could start to look at other people's charts now.
And that's what you're doing full time?
That is. I just moved to full time last fall. I let go of academic life completely.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. I think that speaking of Gemini, having Jupiter in Gemini, I just have lots of hunger to learn and pull from different disciplines from different things, you know.
Just like, so sweet. Who was your mentor in level one?
You know, I did that. You offered one. You were like, I'm talking to you, Pisces, and like maybe Scorpio and Virgo. I can't remember who else.
It's called Interview. Interview.
Yes, so I did the one without a mentor.
It's on sale.
Because I have the personality to self-pace and do finish.
Because your moon's a Capricorn.
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, the part of me does want to do it privately, which is really funny because now I'm all about community and like people.
12th house. It's your 12th house.
Yeah, I know. Just in my like hermit space, just working it out. But what I learned from the 12th house, I put back out. That's how I like to think about it.
With your Jupiter and Gemini, you can't stop talking.
Astrology is so great. So tell me, I'm curious to know, I feel like everybody has a part of their chart that they're in love with. Like, thank you that I was born with this. And then there are areas where you're like, I only love you because of the hard work of having worked with you, like these placements. Would you mind sharing what parts of your chart you're absolutely in love with and which have been the most challenging parts?
That's great. No one's ever asked me that. I think this is, sounds funny, but the sextile between my Mercury in Taurus and my Mars in Cancer is really wonderful. It's part of a yod. It's the sextile to the yod. And I have to say that it's embarrassing because my Mercury in Taurus is slow and gets her feelings hurt. You know, it's not a robust Mercury. It's a solid Mercury. It gives my mental body a very thorough, everything I do is very thorough and very rich and deep. I can't stand superficial. I can't stand people that fake it or just do like I'm so committed to quality control, which I'm thankful to that Mercury in Taurus. And then the Mars in Cancer brings so much compassion. So even when someone hurts me or when I've hurt someone, I'm like the first one to go, oh God, like that Mercury Mars Taurus to Cancer has made me always, it's my default that I always fall into, I am so sorry. And I'm so thankful because it's a muscle that no matter, because this lifetime, I have a grand trine in fire and people have reacted to it. So it's both extremely potent, the amount of energy that runs through my body, but it's also people come close to the fire and then they back up. They're like, you are a little too intense. But the Mars in Cancer and the Mercury in Taurus, I understand that. You know, I instead of taking it personally and going, you know, another one bites the dust, like I go, yeah, I can see where I'm not an easy character to keep up to. I'm not an easy character to understand because I have a mixed Gemini bag. I'm this super energized monster. And then I'm this mushy mom.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, very funny. But I'm so thankful for the mushy mom.
I have Mars in Cancer as well. It's definitely a learning piece in my chart.
Well, mine's the aspect of Mercury. It's exactly sextiling and it's part of the odd. So it's not Mars, because my son also has Mars in Cancer. It is not an easy place, but Mars in Cancer, except when it's being supported by Taurus.
Oh, I love that. My Mercury is trining from Pisces, so it's still very watery. But I can see where the groundedness of Taurus would help that Mars in Cancer find a place to feel its strength, like have ground under the legs to bear down with the stuff that it can feel tender around. Yeah.
I'm really thankful for my chart. I think someone spent a lot of time on it. And it's so clear because this is the craziest story. I recently had a woman, I don't do readings anymore. And every once in a while I'll say, yes, don't ask me why. I said yes to this woman. She came into my space and I looked at her chart and it was in Detroit on the day after mine at the same time as mine. So the chart looked exactly the same, sun in the eighth house, Libra rising, Mercury in Taurus, Uranus. But her moon, my moon in Aries, makes a perfect grand trine. The next day, the moon had no aspects to her grand. So she did not have the grand trine of fire. She just had my chart. And I saw what it was like. It was shocking. Like my moon is exactly trining Uranus. It's exactly trining Saturn. My moon is so well aspected. It gives me an emotional stability that no matter what happens this life with moon trine Saturn, I can come back to center. She could not.
Wow.
And
fascinating.
I was like, this could be a movie. Like what happens when the moon is 24 hours later, everything else was the same. Her birth time was the same. Her city was the same. She lived down the street from me. She had two older brothers as I did. She had a predominant alpha male dad. Everything about it was like over the top. I was just like, this can't be happening. But she really suffered she said to me, how did you get that self-esteem? And I was like, my moon trying to say, I couldn't tell her that.
Yes. Yes. And that means, and I have, let me, I'm going to put, I can put your chart up. I noticed that your sun and moon are also aspecting. So that would mean her moon wasn't also talking to her sun as much.
That's right. My sun and moon are best friends. That's the other part. So I have a kite.
Yes, exactly. I have that in my chart as well.
And she did not.
Oh, astrology really teaches us so much compassion for the human experience.
That's what the subtitle of my book is.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's called The Missing Element. The subtitle is Compassion for the Human Condition.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You're such a Pisces. You just psychically read it. See, I love this chart. I think somebody spent a lot of time on this chart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you had the circumstances, the tools, whatever flowed in to allow you to access it, to live it, to really.
That was the other thing that I saw with her was just the very intense limitations, because while I radically, that moon of mine, look at it. It's just so energetic. Even the square to Mars is so energetic and so aspected. The numbers of it is so strong that I felt for her because I realized when she left, I was like, yes, my moon in Aries never took no for an answer ever. Mm. Whereas it was really hard for her.
Yes. She had like this energy, but wasn't able to channel it.
That moon and like Uranus trining my moon. Like how could I ever argue with these downloads?
Yes. Oh my goodness. And then you have the stability from your Mercury to put your mind to it.
And my grand trine and fire is in earth houses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you mentioned before that your Saturn being opposite your sun, that you feel serious in Saturn's trine, really in relationship with your moon too. Do you feel like you have a strong relationship to Saturn? I still think Saturn life lessons. Weren't those your, aren't
that
those
was my
your
whole,
words? Those you, are your words.
Yeah. That was the whole school. You didn't get to, I'm sorry. You didn't get to be in the class. Cause that's when you see it. This last class in Saturn, everyone goes around the room. My whole system's based on Saturn.
Praise Saturn.
I love Saturn. Yeah. I've come to fall in love with Saturn and look, it's a point of my yod.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So beautiful. I really, well, something I say is Saturn will save your life.
Or kill you.
Or kill you. But as a Pisces person, and a very Neptunian Pisces person, bringing Saturn in to help like clear that up and like dry it out and give everything a container has been what feels in many ways like life-saving. So I like to speak highly of Saturn.
It's smart. Well done.
Tell me your favorite thing about being a Gemini.
You can stop sharing. It's enough of looking at that. okay. I've had enough of that chart. What do I love about being a Gemini? Well, my best friends, I collect Gemini women. Probably five of them I can name off the top of my head that I'm madly in love with. And I see more of the Gemini in them than I do in me, although they always tease me that that's not true. But I feel much more Libra, my rising. I feel that so strong. What is the fun part about being a Gemini? Well, come on. We're never, ever bored. Ever, ever, ever. I'm never, ever bored. I am an entertainment center. I love TikTok. I think TikTok is the best Gemini toy anyone ever invented. I think it's crack. TikTok is crack for me. Following the bouncing ball. Like I've just been asked to write another book. I work on projects that continually, it's almost like popcorn, like woo, woo, woo. Like, mm-hmm. And I say, yes, my moon in Aries goes, okay, yeah, let's do that now. And you know, you're heading towards 70. You're like, you're supposed to slow down now. That's what it says. I'm like, I'm a Gemini. What are you talking about?
Yes. So how do you, like, what's the key to not burning out or getting overwhelmed then?
It's the four elements. Every single day I balance the four. I really live what I talk about. Yes. Every single day I do exercise every day. If I'm not doing yoga, I'm swimming. If I'm not swimming, I'm biking. If I'm not biking, I'm hiking. Every single day I come back to my body and worship it.
Oh, that is so lovely.
Every day, and not a day goes by. The food that I eat, I'm so deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, someone in my community was saying, I don't know how to connect to my Venus and Gemini. And I'm just curious, since you just said you love your Libra rising and then the ruler of Libra being Venus, your Venus being in Gemini, what do the Venus and Gemini people, what do they need to ask themselves?
She said she doesn't access it. Is that what she said?
Yeah, she's just like, I don't get it. I don't know how that could be me. But it was funny because she was asking lots of questions and then someone else in the group was like, well, it's in your questions.
Yeah, that's a funny, Gemini's act dumb a lot. Like, I can't help it. Like, I don't get it, but it's, come on. Gemini. For me, it's the endless, never ending colored pens, stickers, mailing things, constantly researching. I'm doing an Hanuman festival in July, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. I am the keynote address to a climate crisis. I am obsessed with topics like climate because as a Venus in Gemini, I'm like, well, excuse me, wait, plastic is in the ocean the size of Texas and it keeps growing and there's no way to just, should we talk about that?
Should we talk about that? I love it. What you fiercely love, right? We should talk about this. I love that as a framing.
Thank you. Passionate. I am reading, writing, doing arithmetic, sending videos. I think I drive everybody a little crazy, taking pictures all the time. I'm a little obsessed, to put it lightly. Oh. As a Venus in Gemini, I mean, that's a crazy question. Well, I don't know what sign she is, but I have Venus and Sun in Gemini. So it's, yes. Someone just recently, I had a psychic reading. It was kind of fun. And the first thing she said was, why do I think you're, she couldn't see me. We were not on Zoom. Why do I feel like you're 11 years old? I'm a 3-degree Gemini. And then she said, and why are you so curious? And I was like, Venus and Gemini.
Curiosity is the best.
My favorite toy.
It will always keep you young.
And I'm so nosy.
You think that's part of it too?
I genuinely want to know. Like, I mean, at this age, it's definitely worn thin. I have to say that. Like, it's not as wildly fascinating as it was when I was younger. When I was younger, I would go to New York City and I always wanted to go up to every single person and go, I just want to interview you. So how many kids were in your family? Like, how often do you have sex? What do you eat? Like, Deborah, like, I was so curious. Now I'm not. Now I'm like, don't talk to me. I got the storyline. I was so curious as a young person. Oh my God. It was like, I just got here. Someone once said that to me. She was like, being with you is like you just landed. We were driving down Sunset Boulevard in LA and they had these posters that were the size of a building. And I was hanging out the window going, oh my God. And she was like, did you just get here? We're on Sunset Boulevard. I was like, I don't know. That's crazy. Who painted that? How did they get that up there? What was the process of getting that picture onto that thing, up to that thing? Who did that? She was like, oh my God. And that was when I realized people don't have the same young fascination. Yeah.
You're like, the world is an amazing place. Why are we not talking about this?
Why are we not talking about this? Like, why does all the cars know when to turn at the right time and they're all going driving in order? Why doesn't somebody just go, I don't want to stop at the red light?
Oh, but don't argue with your chart. This is just what you're here to do, right?
You don't argue with the red light. I figured that one. There are certain hard facts here that you're not supposed to argue with.
That's some Saturnian law.
And Saturnian, Saturn, really, I do worship Saturn. You come to this planet to learn a lesson, to follow your destiny. The chart is the secret code. It's like having a keyhole into the Akashic records where you get to record what was the last lifetime, what is this lifetime, and where am I going, and how can I best serve the collective? And that is the only reason why I'm here. I would not come to this planet if I didn't have a job. So they gave me a very, very clear directive. You're going to go down. You're going to teach them astrology. You'll teach them about the observer. You'll teach them the four elements. We'll see you at the end. Go.
Yes. Way to take your assignment.
And you named it. You got it so straight up. These are the four things I learned. First thing was my observer. Second thing, wait, don't tell me. The don't argue with your chart. And then the elements. And then what was the last one?
My books are living the signs, like, right. Applied astrology, this idea of make it practical, be relevant, like make it right now.
Got it. It's very impressive. You totally synthesize, and you didn't even take the level one. This interview is a self-study program. It's the same class as level one, but you don't get the impact of the students in our, you could take level one, by the way, for half price, because once you take interview, the thing about, you don't need level one. You could go right to level two, by the way. If you take interview and you do a self-study, it's half the price. It's $500. Then you get to level two. And that's where you learn to be an astrologer, and people leave level two professional astrologers.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for giving that. You just are, like I like to say, living the fuck out of your chart. You are living the fuck out of your chart.
I was on my bike yesterday. It was so cold out and I was screaming, I'm alive at the top of my lungs, thinking the neighbors are going, that girl's on the bike again.
That Gemini.
She's so loud.
Tell the viewers, the listeners, not the viewers, but you can be viewed on YouTube. What's emerging for you right now? Like, what are the next things for Deborah Silver?
I'm writing a new book. It will come out in 2 years. My progress moon is about to enter Virgo. I've been approached by a very, very large publishing company, so I will have some more exposure in a larger way. Because, you know, I don't feel like I've touched as many as I could. So that's, it will be all about the observer. It's less about astrology. Astrology is a very specific fascination that requires left brains, Jupiter and Gemini people. Mm-hmm. I am the missing element had no astrology in it at all was so that people could read it and get introduced to just the elements. Now, the next book that I'm writing is called Tell Me a Story. And it's a compilation. I've been leading a writing group for the last 2 years called Tell Me a Story. And people write these poignant, emotionally rich, and we use it all on the elements. So it's all based on the four elements. And the book will be a compilation of mine and theirs and ours. And it will be a workbook where people will learn how to turn on their observer.
Tell me, what's the subtitle? Do you have it yet?
I think it's going to either be Tell Me a Story, either Turning on the Observer or The Doorway to Emotional Wisdom. I haven't quite figured it out, but it's tmas.co. If anyone listening to this wants to be part, it's only once a month and I teach it. And there's 10 people in the room. It's TMAS, which is Tell Me a Story, tmas.co. And
that in the
yeah. And then you guys can come and study with me directly. That's the only way you can get directly to me, or the Hanuman Festival in July. I will be in Boulder teaching astrology live time. It'll be the first time in almost 3 years that I'll be teaching live.
Oh, so cool. I'm like, I got to make a note to myself to see if
and
I'm
it's so free. Cool. The Hanuman Festival is a yoga retreat with scientists talking about the environment and Deborah Silverman presenting the astrology.
So cool. And you live in Colorado?
Half the time in Boulder and half the time in Hawaii.
And maybe that's how you also know Adam is.
Oh yeah, he came over. Yeah.
Yes.
Adam.
I knew there was another connection.
We loved each other. We had a really fun time.
I love that. Yes. I worked with him one-on-one and he declared me ready to go for a little over a year. So Adam Summer, we're praising you, Adam, wherever you are.
You should be praised. Another little Gemini.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for your work and for accepting the invitation of your chart and not arguing with it and helping others do the same, falling in love with
it. I love your joy.
Thank you, and yours. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for coming on Moon to Moon. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Deborah Silverman. I want to remind everybody to check out the course page for Wildly Alive if it's something that you're feeling into as an investment that will serve you. I want to remind you of how much I love the word investment. If you've heard me talk about this before, you know that I'm super into it as a way of thinking about clothing money in new form. So cool. Like, think about the relationship between the word investment and clothing. Like,
we invest in like investiture. Is that the word? Like part of what like priests get, or like the investments, like they get like robes, you know, like literally clothing. Like the root has to do with clothing. But over time, as people were, like, as money became a thing and like credit became a thing, right? Like these are like modern concepts for exchanges. The way we think about banks and stocks and stuff, right? Like investment has now come to mean this idea that like you're not losing your money, right? When you invest your money, you are trusting that some kind of like magical alchemical process is going to happen and you are going to get your money back in a new form, like more money. That's usually what we're hoping for here, right? Like, but we also invest in learning. We invest in friendships. We invest in we invest our energy, our time, our attention, because we trust that there's something that we're getting back from it. And often we don't even really understand what that is. And so when you pay Wildly Alive, which is paying Britton LaRue, you're investing in the trust that you're clothing that money in new form and that it's going to show up for you in some way. And what that feels like to me, like what I'm telling you you're going to get, is not so much results, although you will feel results. I'm not taking you to a specific destination because it's a process and everyone's on their own path. It's about catalyzing, nourishing change. It's about feeling differently in your own body. It's about trusting that new ways of being are possible for you and new ways of relating in this world are possible for you. And so Wildly Alive is about being someone who feels that they're vigorously participating in their life. That's what Wildly Alive feels like to me, is a kind of like vigorous participation. Agency is living inside of that. And fire, to me, being such related to our energy and our spirit, our spiritedness, our creativities, our passions, like the energetic of imagining like things are moving around, atoms are moving around, like things are potent, like when we build them up, we build them up, we build them up, we build them up, right? And we can decide like how much we want to give that built up energy into this thing, like fire in my palms, you know, like, when is it too much? When is it too little? Like, this is about skill crafting with one's fire, however that looks for you and your life and where you are in this process. So the multifaceted being, open being that is Wildly Alive will swoop in and provide for you. And not every lesson may be for you, because you're coming in to get what's yours right now. And then the material's yours for when you may be in a shifting pivot and may desire a different relationship with fire, or growing, healing, a different working with a different resistance. And you just be with the material as you need, as the magician of your life. So this is my honor, this is my gift, this is my pleasure, and I'm thanking you for trusting me with this very wild template. and witnessing me as your wild teacher. And I look forward to seeing you inside the container. Happy, happy, happy full moon in Sag. That's a fire full moon we're about to have. And until the next episode, I'm wishing you all the best.